everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today are two awesome people from the SQL engineering team. Happy to have them on the show. Gentlemen, why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Hi, my name is Morgan Oslake. I'm a program manager on the SQLDB team.
Okay.
My name is Torsten Grapsen. I'm also a program manager on the Azure SQLDB team.
Awesome. So our topic today, gentlemen, is Elastic Pools, right?
Yep.
Yay. So Morgan, let's start with you.
Yep.
Give us a quick recap overview of what are Elastic Pools and what do you see customers doing with them today?
Yeah, let me start by saying the kinds of customers that might benefit from pools. Typically, we talk about SaaS customers. Think of a SaaS customer possibly as a customer that has a customer management system. Maybe they're a franchise and they have different points, different locations around the world, and they need to keep track of inventory, they need to keep track of sales and so forth. And in those scenarios, a common pattern for these SaaS application developers is to create one database for each of those franchises.
Okay.
And you can imagine that the usage characteristics of each of those databases, they're sort of bursty in nature. They don't all sort of use resources at the same point in time.
Okay.
So basically, Elastic Pools work great for customers that have more than a handful of databases. Where each of those databases may correspond to one of their own customers, and each of those customers aren't necessarily busy all at the same point in time.
Okay. Okay, perfect. So let's just recap and answer the question real quick. What are Elastic Pools? So you talked about kind of what kind of customers would use them, but for those that don't know, what are Elastic Pools? And you kind of alluded to that in your statement just now, but let's
Sure. So Elastic Pools, in the simplest form, they're mechanism to share resources across multiple databases.
Yep.
And the benefits of that are really at least twofold. One, it's a price optimization for customers, but even more than that, it allows customers to simplify their management complexity that they would otherwise have to deal with if they had lots of databases. So they can put all their databases into one pool, and those databases will get the resources they need to serve their own customers' queries when they need them.
Okay.
And they'll be able to do that for a fairly cheap price.
Okay. So instead of managing resources on an individual database level, what we're saying is let's create a pool of resources, and we can put those databases in that pool, and then they can all share those resources.
That's right. They can burst to whatever levels of compute they need to at any point in time without having to know in advance when they're going to do that.
Okay. So instead of managing resources for 10 individual databases, we're just managing now at a higher level.
That's right.
One pool.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. So how easy is it? Let's jump into a demo.
Sure.
How easy is it to get going and set up and work with?
It's really straightforward. So this is the portal experience, but it's supported through T-SQL and PowerShell as well. So in this scenario, I've got a server already deployed in the service, and it's got 19 databases, as you can see, named after various cities.
Okay.
And if I looked at the utilization pattern for one of those databases, let's say Buenos Aires DB, what we'd see is sort of a rather spiky profile of how that database is using resources, right? So that's a classic example of the good kind of usage utilization pattern that would work well for lots of databases in the same pool.
Okay.
So what's happening here is we have a service that runs in the background against all the servers worldwide deployed in SQLDB that looks at the historical utilization of all the databases in a given server. And if it estimates that those databases would benefit from going into an Elastic Pool just based on pricing alone, it provides a recommendation. And that's what we see here at the top of the banner.
Okay.
So we can click this banner at the top of the server blade. And what it says is, of those 19 databases in your server, 16 are recommended to go into a standard Elastic Pool.
Okay.
And it's also calculating, it tells you what size the pool should be. It should be about 400 ETUs, and it says you'd save about $1,500 per month if you did that.
Holy cow.
So we can see details of what the recommendation is by clicking there. And if we go down to, so if I were using this, I might be a little suspicious. I could, at this point, actually just accept all the recommendations, and then presto, all the pool get created and provisioned, the databases would move into the pool, and that's it.
Yep.
Done.
Okay.
But I'd like to understand as a customer a little bit more details about what the recommendation is all about. So if I click Configure Pool, what we'll see here when it pulls up the data is on the left what our service is estimating the combined utilization of all those 16 databases would look like if they're in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see from this blue squiggly line that roughly 200 to 300 DTUs, which is a measure of compute, are being utilized at any single point in time over the last 14 days.
Yeah.
And it says here, this purple dotted line says that the recommended pool size is 400 ETUs, which is the next click stop above this utilization level.
Okay. Yep.
Now, if I don't like that level of pool size, I can change it quite easily just by moving a slider down below. But okay. if I do that, as you can see, it's warning me that I'm now picking a pool size or amount of compute that's less than what's recommended, but I could do that if I want to. This could just be a set of test databases after all.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So then one last thing on this page, if I go to the right, what I see is an analysis of each of the databases and the server and what their min and average DTU values are over the last 14 days. This helps me set the performance qualities that I want for each of the individual databases within the pool.
Yeah.
So if I step back for a moment and say, what are the three important things that define how you configure an Elastic pool? The first is how big the whole pool is. And the second and third are what the max amount of compute I want to provide each database in the pool, and what the guarantee of compute I want to provide each database in the pool.
Okay.
And that's what this chart is helping me understand. It's saying that of all my databases, and I can hover over one of them, right? So this is the New York database. It's saying that it's peaking to 74.82, 75 DTUs. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that it can burst up to roughly 100 DTUs in this 400 DTU pool, right? So I can come down here, change the amount that each database gets in terms of its compute. Instead of giving each database 100 ETUs, I can give them 50. So this helps me control how busy any single database is within the pool so that it doesn't consume resources from all the other databases in the pool.
Oh, so you could still get very granular in there and go, hey, this one database, I don't want this one database taking more than X amount of DTUs and robbing from others, right?
Right now, the settings apply to all the databases in the pool.
Right.
And in the future, we'd like to be able to provide this for individual databases.
Gotcha. Oh, I see.
Yep. Okay. So now I can click OK, and it's going to go off and provision the pool and put the databases into it. Now, let's suppose I've had a pool that's been running for a while. So let me get out of this blade. And so now what I've got here is a pool that's already been provisioned. It's got databases in it. It's been running for a while. And I'd like to go see what the utilization of that pool is. And I can see quite easily that the whole pool is running about 80 to 90% of its capacity.
Okay.
So this is a premium pool that's sized to 125 DTUs.
Yep.
And it's using about 80% of those. This also shows quickly at a glance what the storage utilization is for all the databases in the pool. Now I can go ahead and set alerts on the amount of DTUs being used by the pool or the amount of storage being used by the pool.
Right.
So that I know when I'm approaching my limits and I can make an adjustment. One of the great things about pools is if my pool is running hot, I can easily increase the size of the pool without any downtime to my databases.
Right.
Or if my pool is too big and I need to save a little bit of money, I can easily downsize the size of the pool without any downtime to my databases. So it's really easy to change essentially the performance objectives for the pool and the databases in the pool without impacting dial tone for the databases.
Yeah, live, real time,
not
touching the databases.
Right.
They're still up. That's cool.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay, so this is fantastic. Let's turn our attention to Torsten for a second and give him a second to plug in. And while he's doing that, let me ask him a question about tooling around Elastic pools. What are we doing in that space there?
So, as Morgan pointed out, it's great to have pools, and it's very easy to create lots of databases, and there are lots of benefits for that.
Mm-hmm.
Pools gives you the resource and capacity sharing, and by creating standalone separate databases in the pool for your tenants or your franchises, you can isolate them very well. You can do things like point-in-time restore for individual franchises.
Okay.
But then you have to work and manage with hundreds, maybe even thousands of databases.
Yep.
And how do you do that? There are a couple of interesting scenarios that may come to your mind. So one is I'm making a change to my application, I'm introducing a new column to a table, or I'm introducing a completely new table, and this needs to be rolled out across all of my databases
mm-hmm.
because they all have the same schema. So that's one use case. The other one is I have database maintenance operations that I need to run at certain points in time. So
yep.
I want to update my statistics or rebuild my indexes.
Yeah,
how do I do that with like hundreds of thousands?
Yeah, just because we put them in the pool doesn't mean they're completely hands off, right? They're still their normal database maintenance plans and things we have to do to those databases, right?
Yeah, and the application lifecycle where you make changes to your application and your database schema, they just kick in. So one thing that we have done is essentially give you a number of Elastic database capabilities that essentially surround the pools and help you work with lots of databases at the same time. And one that I'm going to show in just a minute is Elastic Database Jobs, which essentially takes all the databases that you have in a pool, and then you can provide a piece of T-SQL and drop it into the Elastic Job, and the Elastic Job then takes care of rolling that out across all the databases that you have in the pool. There are other features that also help you with that. So for instance, if you wonder about, oh, I need to run a query that touches all of my franchises or all of my attendants, for instance, for reporting purposes, there's another Elastic feature which we call Elastic Database Query that allows you essentially to access all of the databases in your pool through the same endpoint. So you could connect into a single database, and through that database, you get a logical view across all of the databases in your pool. But let me show you first, a pool, and then how we can run a job over it. So here we're back to the Azure portal. Here is a pool that I have predefined, and I'm following somewhat in the same scenario that Morgan had. So there's a number of cities in here. So you see Malmo, Tokyo, Beijing, and you may have already spotted the manage job and create job button up here. So let's say we want to create a new job for the databases in this pool. And let's call this stats update. And it asks me for a username. And I'm the developer. Here's my password. And
so what you're doing here is you're basically creating a job.
I'm creating a brand new job, and that job basically points to, or you create it on top of that pool where I have my my databases. And down here is essentially an editor where you can type in a piece of T-SQL. And I hope I spelled this correctly. If not, we'll find out in just a second. So let's say I want to run this. I'm not sure whether there is another underscore.
Nothing now, like live demos.
Yes. So what happens essentially behind the scenes is this job is being created, and it's stored in a metadata database that we're using to keep track of all your jobs and the progress that they've made. And then we have infrastructure that runs behind the scenes for you that essentially creates a task for each database that you have in your pool. The task opens the connection to the database in the pool and then runs the piece of T-SQL that you've given us against that database, against that connection.
Okay.
And you can already see down here we have all these databases now happily executing that piece of T-SQL that I just gave them.
Okay.
And they should be done in just a couple of seconds.
So is that easy? So basically, I'm connecting to the pool. Here's the query. Go, right?
Pretty much.
Is this something you could schedule?
Yes. So besides the portal experience, there's also an experience through PowerShell.
Okay.
And PowerShell gives you a somewhat richer interface to the features. And there you have the ability to run jobs on a schedule. So you can, for instance, do that nightly if you want, or every couple of hours, or during your maintenance window over the weekend.
Very nice. Okay. Great. Perfect.
So some of the interesting aspects that are happening now that we are taking care for you with jobs is, for instance, if there are any exceptions that are hitting along the way, so for instance, one database, the connection does not succeed for whatever reason, we have transient fault handling built into the jobs infrastructure.
Okay.
So we will automatically retry the task for you, and that gives you essentially eventual completeness semantics for the job. So eventually it's going to make it on all of your databases.
How granular can you get with that? Can you say, hey, I want to only retry a number of times, and then let me know if something, you know, is there a role? If one fails, does it roll them all back type of thing? I mean, how granular can you get with that?
So right now, you can define policies around how long you're willing to retry. There are default policies in there that can retry up to 2 weeks. If that's something that you don't want, then you give us a policy that has like a shorter retry period of time. Now, the assumption is that you always want to roll forward. There are no atomicity guarantees for the whole job. So each connection and to each database is a transaction on its own.
On its own, okay.
And so completes on its own.
So you got 10 databases, and one fails. It's, you know, the 9 are good, and the 1 just says, hey, you need to pay attention to that one.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. Perfect. Anything else you want to show, or should we move on?
Let's move on, but keep in mind, this is jobs. The other thing that you want to keep in mind and probably try out is Elastic Query as well, which gives you the ability to interactively query.
Okay, and so maybe what we'll do is we'll have you back to show us Elastic Query.
That sounds great.
That would be awesome. Okay, all right, so we're going to turn our attention to this. Let me, and Morten, why don't you unmute yourself now, if that's all right. And we are now going to have a special guest on our show. All right, can you hear us?
Yes.
All right, perfect. So we'd like to welcome Morten Christensen to the show. He is calling in all the way from Denmark, Copenhagen, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Right. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Why don't you take 1 minute and introduce yourself, then we'll ask you a couple questions.
Yes, well, my name is Morten Christensen. I work for Umbrago HQ, the company behind Umbrago, the CMS, and I work on Umbrago as a Service, which is our SaaS offering.
Okay, so can you give us a quick overview of what Umbrago is and what does it do?
Yeah, so Umbrago is an open source content management system based on the .NET stack. It's been open source for around 11 years now, and okay. There are approximately 325,000 sites live around the world that runs on Umbrago.
325,000 sites?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nothing to sneeze at. So how is what turned you guys on to Azure SQL Database, and how is Umbrago using Azure SQL Database? And ultimately, Elastic Pools.
Yeah, so we've been using SQL Azure for, I think, 3 years now. And back in October of last year, we migrated from the old web databases and to SQL Azure V12 and put all of those databases into Elastic Pools. And that migration was actually quite delightful. It was a very smooth and pain-free process. So we got the recommendations, like Morgan mentioned earlier, and we could simply click and migrate all of those databases into Elastic Pools. Okay. And we right now we use pools of we have 200 databases. In all of our pools, and we have those configured to 100 DTUs per pool.
So you have how many pools?
I think we have around 18 pools now, which pools. All has 200 databases in them.
Okay, and what's your experience?
200 databases each, right, Morten?
200 databases in each pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have around 1,500 projects. On Umbrago as a service right now, and that's each project has a development and a live environment, and each of those two environments has its own SQL Azure database.
Dang. All right. And what's been, you said earlier that the experience of getting into Azure, you know, Azure SQL Database was very easy. What's been your experience in using Elastic Pools?
Well, it's been a really good fit for us. I mean, so we have this service offering where we use SQL Azure databases, and having the ability to pool these resources together, and instead of just being limited to, for example, 10 DTUs per customer, we have a lot more flexibility now because we can have a larger pool with, say, 100 DTUs and kind of spread those resources across for the customers that use our service.
Okay.
So we kind of get rid of the noisy neighbor syndrome because we have a lot of resources available, but at the same time we can allow our customers to spike their usages. So if they have usages patterns that are different from normal, let's say in a day, they spike more than usual, then we have room for them to do that, and that's a really good thing for us, having that flexibility.
So you said development and production databases both in Elastic Pools?
Yeah.
Okay. And and how was it easy to migrate into Elastic Pool?
Well, there was, we just used the PowerShell scripts for it. So right. We had a few, write a few SQL servers with the old web databases in them.
Okay.
And then we ran the PowerShell scripts against them, got the recommendations. Then for some of them, we were recommended to use a specific Elastic pool, and we could do that. And then there was a few where it didn't advise us to migrate into a pool. And since we wanted to go into the pools anyway and use those additional resources, we could just go into the portal and just move those databases directly into a pool, which we configured ourselves.
So overall, you'd say that your experience with Elastic Pool's been really nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. Hey, so Morten, we appreciate your time, especially, what is it, 9 o'clock there, 9:30?
Yeah, it's 8:30 now.
Yeah. Oh, 8:30. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We just had our spring forward. Sorry. Since, wish we'd get rid of that. Anyway, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. I think it would be awesome to have you on, and let's dive a little more into what you guys are doing with Elastic Pool. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right. So you guys have any questions for Morten? Or just...
I think Morten's... application is sort of this classic, follows the classic pattern that we were talking about at the beginning of the show here, which is each of their own tenants or customers have their own test database and their own production database.
Right.
And they're able to preserve that application programming pattern by putting them all into pools,
yeah,
and benefiting from performance management as well as price savings.
Well, and we sort of, when you explained that and he started talking about, hey, here's how we're using it, that was kind of a match made in heaven scenario, right? It fit right into the kind of the scenarios you were talking about, right?
That's right.
And I'm sure this is one of those things where, Umbraco stands up and says, hey, here's how awesome it is, just a champion, others going, look, I fit the same scenario, why aren't we looking at Elastic Pools, right?
That's right.
So if you're already in Azure SQL Database and you have that, some, that type of application, why aren't you using Elastic Pools?
That's right.
Cool.
Morten, do you have a sense around how much money or how much time you're saving by using pools?
Ooh, great question.
I'm not sure how much money we're saving, but I know that it's a really good fit for us. It's much cheaper for us to use than the old web databases. So it's definitely a great fit for us in terms of pricing. And what was the other part of the question?
And management, for instance, I'm thinking about managing individual databases and capacity and resources for individual databases versus managing the overall capacity for your pool.
Yeah, so for management, right now we basically just use the portal. We kind of keep an eye on resources, the utilization in there, and we set up alerts so we get a notification if some customer databases are spiking more than usual, and then we can use that to kind of take action on it if we need to move them into another pool or just scale up the amount of resources that we have available in that specific pool. And in terms of management or provisioning of the databases, we use the C# management libraries for that. So we actually set up a small service that provisions databases in Elastic Pools and make sure there's this flow of databases that are available, and that's all automatically. So we don't really have to worry about provisioning new resources.
Awesome.
That all happens behind the scenes.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So we can just, given what you've talked about, we can only assume he's probably significant savings on the coming from web and business editions, right? And just making the whole management much easier for thousands
Definitely.
And thousands of databases, right?
I can imagine that.
All right, so we need to get going, but Morten, thank you so much for your time. Greatly, greatly appreciated. And Morgan and Torsten, thank you so much for coming here. We definitely want to have you guys back to talk more about Elastic Pools and Elastic Scale.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Morten.
Thanks, Morten.
You.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.